It is a fact of life that in every person's life, there will come a time when we run out of time. Of course, most of our lives are lived in a vague acknowledgement of the inevitability of death, death as a theoretical idea, death as an abstraction. Of course we know we will die. Everyone dies. To claim otherwise is absurd because death is what happens to all of us eventually. And we know that. Or we think we know that. But there will come a time for each of us when death is no longer an abstraction, but an omnipresent reality. There will come a time when we know that our time is nearly up. If we're lucky, we get some sort of advance notice that this clock is ticking. We might have time to put our affairs in order, to finish writing that book or take that trip we've always wanted to take, to say goodbye to our loved ones properly, to say what needs to be said, to make peace with God, our life, and with those we love. If we're especially unlucky, our notice might be measured in days, hours, minutes, seconds. But whether that time is long or short, there will come a time for each of us when we know that our life is coming to an imminent and unstoppable end. And whether we have a long time or a very short time, or whether we are young or old when we get our news, our perception of what really matters shifts. Our priorities change. We treat that time differently than we've treated the rest of our life. All of a sudden, what we say or do matters more than it has ever mattered before. When our time is running out, we become careful with what we say and how we say it. And when there is very little time, we tend to say the same thing over and over again. I love you. When high school students are in lockdown during a school shooting, they text their parents, "I love you." During September 11th, as those trapped in the Twin Towers desperately tried to call those who they loved, they left messages on answering machines. "I love you." As cancer patients lie in their deathbed, as they are held by their loved ones, they whisper, "I love you." Jesus, knowing that Jesus would only be with his friends just a little longer, and that his suffering and death was near, gathered his friends together and said, "I love you." When Jesus' time had become precious, when Jesus knew that he had just a few short hours left, the single thing that Jesus wanted his friends to know is his deep and abounding love. And Jesus had been teaching about this very love since the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Going from town to town, walking the hot and dusty roads, Jesus preached the good news of God's love, had healed the sick, fed the hungry, cast out demons, and performed deeds of power. But in the end, with time running out, Jesus returns to the only thing that truly matters: love. So Jesus needed to be absolutely certain that the disciples understood what it means to love one another, not in an abstract, theoretical way, but tangibly, in the flesh, incarnate. And so Jesus, himself love incarnate, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around his waist, and began to wash the feet of those he loved. This is a stunning reversal of social status, and the disciples are amazed. Peter even objects. But Jesus lovingly persists, tenderly serving each of his own disciples. When Jesus is finished, Jesus tells them that as Jesus has lovingly served his own disciples, so the disciples should lovingly serve one another. And then Jesus continues, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. The clock is ticking. Jesus' betrayal is nigh. The long road to the cross awaits. But love is what Jesus teaches in that precious small amount of time. Love one another. Not theoretically, but in action. Not later, but now. Love one another. Nothing else matters. Beginning in the Middle Ages, largely as a response to the widespread devastation that was the Black Plague, the concept of memento mori arose in Christian spirituality. A memento mori is a physical reminder that you will die. Sundials and clocks were inscribed with sayings about the fleetingness of time. John Donne, Anglican priest and poet, was said to sleep in a shroud. Human skulls were kept on hand as objects of reflection and incorporated into painting and sculpture. And perhaps the most extreme example is the Capela dos Ossos in Portugal. It's a chapel constructed and decorated with the skeletons of an estimated 5,000 monks. Over the door to the chapel reads a sign, "We bones, lying here bare, await yours." But mementi mori are nothing but a morbid fascination with death if all it does is remind you that death is coming. What mementi mori are supposed to do is remind you that death is coming so that you can order your life in a way in which it reflects the true value of the time that we have been given. Living a Christian life and living that life while we still have time to live it is an exercise in living as though we know our time is short. Living a Christian life is an exercise in clarity about what matters and what does not. Living a Christian life is an exercise in choosing love every single blessedly ordinary day of our lives, so that when we come to the end of our lives, whenever that may be, we know that we have loved with all of our strength and heart and soul and mind. When Jesus knew his time was short, Jesus gathered his friends and said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Love one another. Nothing else matters.